Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Wasn't that fantastic? Thank you, Madison. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so very, very much. I like to kind of keep up to speed on the newest technology, and so I'm kind of one of those phone junkies who, when the next greatest phone comes out, I always try to find a way to upgrade my phone. The problem is, a few times ago, when I got an upgrade, they tried to transfer my contacts, and not all of the contacts transferred over. And so sometimes I will get a text and I won't have the name. I'll just have a number. But then someone begins a conversation and I have no idea who it is. And so before I can respond, I have to stop and say, hey, I'm sorry. I don't know really who this is. And that led me to a couple screenshots of some phones, the same type of thing. So obviously someone was selling a car and they got a response. Hey, mate, my name's Mario. I just wanted to know if I could come and take a look at your car that you have for sale. After 5 is good for me. When are you available? Cheers. And he said, I should be available tomorrow after 6. And then he re-responded, obviously thinking he was responding to somebody else. Good night, beautiful. Cannot wait to have you in my arms. Love and miss you heaps. XOXOXO. And the person responded, look, man, I'm just interested in the car. So it's always an interesting thing there. And then someone was trying to make a hair appointment, and they thought they were texting their hairdresser. Hey, Mary, need to come in for a haircut. Let me know a time. Thanks, Jeff. And then the response, will either of these styles work for you? These two pictures. The guy said, no. Well, then maybe you should call Mary instead. Obviously, I had the wrong person. This has happened to me several times where you get this text and you're really not sure who it is, and so you're confused. And it's, how do we respond when things get awkward like that? How do we respond when people are talking to you and they don't get you? They really don't know for sure who you are, or perhaps you're being misrepresented. Well, that's kind of the topic of our message today. We've been in this series called You Asked For It. And I've gotten a lot of fun questions, some pretty intense questions. As we get ready for sabbatical, I just said, I'm just going to answer questions. So today's message is actually answering 3 questions, and I'm kind of mixing it together because it's the same root. Question number 1 was, how do we, as Christians, how should we respond to a society that's getting more and more anti-Christian? Particularly when we talk about marriage, we talk about human sexuality, we talk about those topics that society is making big transitions, and it kind of puts us as Christians at odds a little bit. How do we respond the right way? The second question is, how do we deal with, quite frankly, with persecution? And how do we, as members of the body of Christ, how do we find our place in an ever-changing world? So I'm kind of wrapping those things together, and perhaps the best way I can share it with you is this, because in our nation, Christians are more and more openly mocked. In the entertainment field, they're portrayed as dumb, uneducated, mindless automatons. I personally have been concerned at the moral double standard that's used against Christianity in our nation, but often it's kind of skewed in favor of other world religions, particularly in comparison to Islam. Now, because of the Bible's clear and unified definition of sexual morality, of marriage, and of salvation through Christ alone, Christians find themselves more and more in the crosshair of a progressing culture that rejects absolute truth, and ironically is becoming less and less tolerant of Christianity, and sadly is becoming more hostile towards Christians. Or should I say those who maintain a biblical worldview? So consider this billboard. This is an actual screenshot of a billboard. Said, Christianity, a sadistic God, a useless Savior, 30,000 plus translations of the truth, promotes hate, calls it love, join the American atheist. Atheism, simply reasonable. This is a real billboard that's put up. And we see these things more and more and more. So how do we respond as believers in Christ when society changes so much and becomes more and more aggressive? Well, I think that a lot of us, the decision that's made is not the correct decision, because a lot of folks, when it gets tough, they just go to social media and decide to rip on people. That's how Christ would handle it, right? Yeah. Something is going to happen. We're going to be treated wrongly. So immediately we're going to go and we're going to post it and we're going to make some big thing. How about we're just going to get mad and throw a fit? That sound good? I'm doing our top 10. Come on, folks. How about we get angry? Couple thoughts for you today as we begin to think about this topic. Because first and foremost, it's important that we understand that as Christians, we need to be Christians, and Christianity is not necessarily a popularity contest. So let me frame this conversation from the words of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, where Jesus is beginning to talk about the end of the age. Okay, Matthew chapter 23, we're going to read verses 3 through verse 14, and I'm going to put my cheaters on, and don't make fun of me. Thank you. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and at the close of the age?" Then Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be..." The one who endures to the end will be... Yes. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So brothers and sisters, first of all, I want to tell you this. Don't be surprised. Okay? Really, do not be surprised when there is conflict. Don't be surprised when the world hates you. In fact, there's a promise in Scripture that says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But then it goes on to say, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Now, when I was a kid, my father always got the great job of taking me to the doctors. And here's how it would go, because my father was a chemist, and he was big into understanding science and to really putting information out there. So he'd say, "Michael, yeah, Dad, you're going to have to go to the doctors." I said, "Okay, how is this going to work?" He said, "And you're going to get shots." Because he knew that that was going to be the next question. Do I have to get a shot? And he said, "Yes, you're going to have to get a shot. And here's what's going to happen. He's going to put some stuff and some alcohol on your arm, and that's to disinfect it. And then he's going to take the needle. But understand, it's a very small needle, and it's going to come in. It's going to be out really before you know it. If you freak out about it, you will make it worse. But I'm telling you about it so you understand. This will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And by the way, if you're good and you get through it, we're going to go get ice cream." You know, the operative words in that were shot and ice cream. I knew that there was going to be a shot, but then I knew that there was going to be... Y'all like ice cream too. You know what was really... I appreciated this about my father. Is first of all, he gave me information so that I knew that what was happening wasn't out of the ordinary. When I take my children and we get on an airplane to go travel, especially if we're going to go we've gone to California, I said, about 3/4 of the way through the trip, we're going to cross the mountains. When we cross the mountains, you're going to get thermals. And the plane's going to buck. And it's a normal thing that happens, guys. And I tell my daughters, "Hey, don't freak out. It's like a free roller coaster ride. The only time you need to freak out is when the stewardesses run, and then we freak out. But till then, it's normal. It's okay. Expect it to happen." And so we got to, last time we went to California, we just about were crossing the Rockies, and oh my heavens, it started shaking. And the stewardesses did actually go to their little place. But Lainey was like, "It's a roller coaster." She was laughing and carrying on, and I'm kind of like, you know why? Because they knew what was coming. They understood it, so therefore they weren't freaked out. I wish the church would know this kind of the same thing with God. He has told us that in the last days, don't expect the gospel to necessarily win a popularity contest, because God loves us all so much that He will give us the choice to reject Him. Now, with that being said, I've got three things for you today, and three things that I think we need to understand as the world grapples with this concept of a biblical worldview or a non-biblical worldview. First point is this: stand in God's Word. Here's why I say this. Sadly, too many people are falling away from God's word. Or what I find is worse, and it's inside the church. In an effort to make church more palatable, in an effort to make relationship with God more palatable, there is a concerted effort that I believe is from Satan. Yes, I said Satan. I believe there is a concerted effort to undermine and to try to rewrite God's word, so it fits more in our society. So we go in and we say, you know what, this worked 2,000 years ago, but everything has changed. And because everything has changed, now we need to change God's word so it fits more in the confines of our society. Look, guys, first and foremost, God doesn't change. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. And he says, Paul writes, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Here's what I have to say to this. Guys, God's word does not change, so therefore don't change God's word. In fact, Scripture is riddled with what God feels about when individuals try to rewrite His Word. In fact, there's curses pronounced on those who try to add to or to take away from the Word of God. The Word of God stands just fine. And if people say, oh, well, that the Word of God is really hateful, you just don't get it. The message of the cross can be summed up in really two verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse, John 3:17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's the message of hope. It's a message of love. Now, the problem is too many Christians forget about the Word of God, and our second point, they forget about the character of God. Let me finish this one. So God's Word doesn't change, and we shouldn't change God's Word, and I will grant to you that that is difficult. But remind you, 1 Corinthians 1:18-19 lets us know that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do not remove the power of God. What happens when we, as a generation who's been entrusted with the message of Christ, if we try to change the message of Christ and try to make it more palatable, all we're trying to do is market God. Let me tell you this, God can market Himself quite well. Quite well. And here's how He marks. God changes lives, of which I can testify to that. As a former drunk, depressed person, I love my life now. And it wasn't about someone trying to move things around. God loves me and He has set me free from those bondages. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving for perfection. And I have a Father who loves me. And each day in the morning, I wake up and it's good. Have not arrived, but man, I'm on a journey. And Dad's with me. You know how He's with me? Sometimes He's with me through people who He places in my life. That's great stuff. So the point was, look, guys, stand in God's Word. You don't have the authority to change God's Word and then act like somehow you're doing that a favor. No, you're not. Do you have the power to grant salvation? No. If we don't have the power to grant salvation, what right do we have to go back and water down the gospel? Seriously? You know what we're doing at that point? We're making gods of ourselves. Next point. And this is the big one. Because, you know, when I talk to people, and I do, I try to readily engage people with different worldviews. And inevitably, once someone finds out that I have a biblical worldview, they try to pigeonhole me that I hate anybody with whom I disagree. Nothing's further from the truth. Ah, well, you're a Christian. You're a judgmental jerk who's, you're going to send everybody to hell. No, I'm not. Because I'm not a judge. My job is to love. I'll tell you that all day long. Because you know who I get more angry at? Are religious idiots. Seriously. Like we're doing God's job. There's a book by Caleb Kallenbach. I told you about that. And his first exposure to Christianity, You know, he was born in a household. His parents divorced. They both went to a different lifestyle. He lived with his mother, who began a relationship with another woman. And he was taken out to a LGBT parade. And he was he met all this group of people with these sandwich boards on saying, "God hates you." And they were throwing jars of urine on them. It's in his book, Messy Grace. He said, "Mom, who are these people?" His mom said, "These are Christians, and these are how Christians act." To which I want to say, shame on them, because they're not acting, my second point, stand in God's character. For God so. And yet, why are we identified as those who hate? You know what? I got far more to love. I got far more to love. And you don't have to line up with my version of righteousness for me to love you, because that's not what God commanded me to do. Pastor, you're saying you hate stinking sinners? Yep, I do. Seriously? Yes. First of all, they're not. They're God's children. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 5, 43. Jesus gives us the prescription. You ready? You see, I believe nothing is worse than the Christian who acts unlike the character of Christ. Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. How many of you like that one? Because that sounds good to me. I'm good at that one, right? If you're good to me, yeah, you're my bestest buddy. You do something I don't agree with, it's easy to kind of say, I'm going to write you off. Yeah. But here's what verse 44, here's what Jesus says. But I say to you, love your enemies. Gulp. And not just that, and pray for those who do just what you want them to do. Pray for who? Well, it's easier to go on Facebook and just rip them. It's much easier to go on social media. It's much easier to make a tweet that says how bad they are and how ridiculous they act and how right I am and how wrong they are. That's how we like to function. We like to make that our Instagram story. No, no, no. Here's the deal. Christ says this. Look, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute. What an interesting thing. Now, here's the cool part. How many of you would like to be children of God? I'm scared because I was hoping more than two hands would go up. So I'm going to rephrase that. How many of you like ice cream? Yeah, okay, ice cream's cool, we're in for that. You're going to give us all a drink? No, here's the deal. How many of you would like to be known as sons of God or daughters of God? Yeah? Yeah, I'm in for that. Well, check this out. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Boy, that's kind of interesting. Is this a legalistic approach to it? No. It's naturally what transpires. You have to lead yourself to love. Love doesn't come natural to me. What comes natural to me is being selfish. I'm just going to be honest. That's what comes natural to me is putting me first. I get the phone book. The first page I'm turning to is make sure my name's in there and spelled correctly. Yep. Yep, yep, yep. How do you handle your yearbooks? That's you go. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Why are those words there? Because they're letting us know that God loves people that don't love him. Well, I don't know if that lines up with my theology. Then you need to check your theology. Because you know what? God loved me before I had any interest in loving him. God loved me when I loved making fun of people who represented the message of hope in Jesus Christ. God loved me when I didn't care. God loved me when people were knocking at my dorm room in college saying, "Hey, we'd like to tell you about Jesus." I already knew about Jesus. And I was running from them because life was really bad at that time. When I would take them and make fun of them. And yet then when I would stumble in, guess who was there? Instead of the person saying, "Well, you're no good. You're a stinking sinner. You're no good." And you know what? Those were the people who sat there. "Hey, I'm going to take care of you. Make sure you get to your room safely. And let you know, yeah, you're not living the life God has for you. But we're going to love and pray for you." Wow, they didn't judge me, they loved me. That's what changes life, guys. That's what changes lives. And I'm so thankful for those individuals. I'm blessed for those individuals. He goes on to say that he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Man, that's a big order. Pastor, you saying you're perfect? No, I'm saying that I'm not going to be satisfied with striving for less than that, though. Because I'm tired of the church giving themselves a free pass because of the grace that God offers us. Come on. How many of us are guilty of, don't even raise your hand. How many of you, though, in your own mind, you're guilty of saying, I know that Christ forgives me, so He's going to give me a pass on this one. Yeah. And we wonder why no lives are getting changed. Yeah. Pardon my passion on that one, but I feel that. You see, God needs us to show His love, not our frustration. And I'm telling you what, I've got some people in my life that really do frustrate me. I got some people in my life I've tried to present Christ to, and they listen, and then they just turn on a dime, and they're rough. I mean, rough. I've endured the making fun of me, doing this, and you know what? I'm not finally getting the voice that's saying, you know what, you stinking sinner? My job is to love, and to love, and to love, and to love, and to love. Not to justify. Not to change God's words and say, oh yeah, what you're doing is just fine. But to, as Ephesians said, to speak the truth in love. God so loves the world. And there are way too many bad examples. Our job, guys, is to simply love. And my final point today is this. So we're to stand in God's word. We're to stand in God's character. And finally, we're to stand in God's promise. I actually didn't mind going to the doctor's office to get shots. You know why? Because there's an ice cream cone coming. There's an ice cream cone coming. You know what helped get me through the shots? The ice cream cone. What I want to tell you today is this. You got a big old ice cream cone coming. It's called heaven. It's called eternity with God. And yes, there's going to be a process. Yes, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. But keep stand in God's promises. And know this. God's promise, we spoke about this a little bit in Sunday school here today. His promise is not that the storm will leave us. It is that He will not leave us in the storm. Happy Father's Day. This is what your Father in heaven says. It's not that you're not going to have hard times. And it's not even that the hard times aren't necessarily going to endure. It's that this, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is the promise of God. So understand, my brothers and sisters, as we wrap up our time here today, that God has you where you are for a purpose. You are exactly where you are for a purpose, and that purpose is His purpose. It's not just to make money to pay your bills. That's not why you are where you are. It's not just in the neighborhood that you happen to get the best deal on a house. It's not with your group of friends you just had because you grew up with them. You are in every sphere where you are because God has a purpose and a plan for you there. To stand in His Word, to declare His Word, to demonstrate His love, and ultimately to deliver the gospel, which is the gospel of hope. And that's good news.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.